The title of the message is God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. That was probably a different version than what I have printed out, but that's okay. So the first part of the message, I'm going to deal with a song. The second half, a little bit on Joseph. In recent years, we've heard the phrase war on Christmas. It's a term which refers to an effort of non-religious groups, such as government and businesses, to move maybe away from the Christmas celebration or away from a Christianity version of Christmas, and to make it a more secular, generic winter holiday. This effort is not has a history to it. It goes back quite a ways. Maybe not so much secular versus religious, but this song that we are dealing with today is a song of what I call a Christian protest from the traditional Christian hymns. Now, I'm going to get Josiah to sing a stanza of O Come Emmanuel, and also the first stanza or first whatever, and we're going to compare the two, and then I'll go into a little bit more detail. So play. You want to understand the difference between what was played in the church, sung in the church of the day in the 15th, 16th, 17th century, and what was sung outside the church. Which one first? O Come Emmanuel. Okay, now sing the other one. When we just got done singing, just one verse.
God rest you merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To sing the song from Satan's throne.
Okay, you see a difference? Big difference. Well, what was traditionally sung in the church at the time were like these heavy songs, these dark, somber songs, and they were usually sung in Latin. And they, when the general public came outside the church, they started singing Christmas carols. There's a difference between Christmas carols and Christmas songs. So this particular song was sung kind of in protest to these sober, long drawn out songs that are sung in church. So Christmas carols are more of a happy, upbeat type of singing. So if you sing Christmas carols, you're more or less in a protest to the traditional religious drawn out church songs. So it was kind of a protest in how it was done. And God Rest You Merry Gentlemen was one of those songs. It was sung in the streets. I haven't found anybody that actually can claim that they have the authorship to the words. It was compiled in later years, and the version that we sung is certainly different than the one I had found online. So said original one. It has less verses in it, less stanzas in it. It's basically a Christmas song, an upbeat Christmas song about the story of Christmas, as you can well see. That's what songs were generally about, Christmas songs or Christmas carols. They weren't necessarily non-religious. They just were more upbeat and happy. And like the night watchmen would sing them and people would sing them in the street. They were happy. They were more or less in protest to what was going on in the church. They didn't like that. They wanted something more than just the traditional song. Now the words, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, doesn't mean that it's a bunch of gentlemen sitting around resting. You have to understand the English terms. Mary meant mighty in the English, Old English. So when we were talking about Robin Hood and his band of merry men, it wasn't Robin Hood with a whole bunch of happy men going out to fight. It was about mighty men. It meant mighty men. So like merry old England, you know, it wasn't necessarily just a happy old country. It meant, in another sense, more bountiful and prosperous. You were merry. You were. It meant a lot of different things. But generally in the song, it meant mighty men, mighty. And the word rest doesn't mean that you were going to be resting. It meant that you were. It meant to keep or to make or to rest assured. We use that today. Rest assured that you are going to be taken care of. So the song was not about, again, not a bunch about a bunch of merry men being happy. It was about that you, God will keep you mighty and you know, the mighty men as a gentleman. So God rest assured that he's going to take care of his mighty men. That's what the song was about. I found that to be very interesting. Because, you know, if you don't know the language where it came from, then you don't, maybe, you know, a lot of these old Christmas songs are written in a language that are not necessarily modernized. We sing them in a way that we may not understand. And another thing that always caught me was a lot of our Christmas songs came out of England or Western Europe, mostly England and Western Europe, a lot of English. And our first hymnals, unless he's going to correct me, were produced in England. Some of our first hymnals.
Not just England, but like the entirety of the English Isles.
Yeah.
Like Welsh.
Yeah,
Scottish.
That whole area right in there. It was the first to produce and compile hymn books like we know. And so a lot of it comes out of there. Germany had, they had their input along the way, and France had their input. Western Europe had a lot of it. But it was a lot of songs about, to put it kind of bluntly, just white European men. I mean, let's face it, that's what it was about, a lot of them. God rest you, merry gentlemen. I mean, it wasn't, I did read somewhere online that there's a more of a generic term of this song where it took the gender out of it, the gentleman out of it, and that type of thing out of it, but that's a more modern version. But we have to understand during the times in which it was. Again, Christmas songs and Christmas carols are two different things. That's something that I didn't really realize. And Christmas carols are probably more like Jingle Bells, and Santa Claus, and that type of thing. Not that they don't have a spiritual application in Christmas time, but they would be considered more Christmas carols. So again, if you're going out to sing Christmas carols, you have to remember that maybe you're in protest of something. I thought that was interesting. I just thought that it was just like, people don't realize that. Now I want to talk a little bit about Joseph. It'll probably be a relatively short message. We all have things to do and our minds are on elsewhere. So I'm going to read the story of Joseph. It was suggested to me that very little is Joseph usually gets kicked under the bus a lot in this whole Christmas story. In some ways, he does. I think sometimes both Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, and Joseph are good examples of good men that supported their wives through issues and things that were different than a regular marriage, for sure. And sometimes I think they're forgotten. And sometimes we see the men of the Bible as great warriors or, you know, apostles and these great people. But here's two examples, I think, of just average men doing average things and being a good husband. And Joseph is one of them. And so I'm going to read in Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophets. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And he did not consummate their marriage until he gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. There is a lot written about Joseph. I don't necessarily agree with some of it. One of the traditional stories is that Joseph was an older man who had, this is a more Catholic point of view, and it's written from an apocryphal book, and I don't necessarily agree with it. They see Joseph as being married before and having all these children before, and somehow he lost his wife, and his first wife, and Mary was his second wife. And so the children were all from his previous marriage. And this is an idea, and that he was an older man, and that he died of later on in life. But this is the reason they do this is that they want to support the idea that Mary was immaculate conception. She was holy, and she never had any sexual relations, and from the time she had Jesus on. That's only to support that idea. And it's not biblical, because the story in the Bible says that Joseph went on to have other children. That is written in the pages of the Bible. So it depends on how you're going to see what age Joseph is. I don't necessarily, scholars try to reason a lot of this stuff out. They look a little bit here and they look a little bit there, and they come up with a surmising or an opinion as to what all happened to Joseph. And they do that in a lot of ways. They look a little here, look a little there, and then they try to fill in the blanks. It's a lot of assumptions. And I'm not saying they're wrong, and I'm not saying they're justified in what they're doing. I do disagree with the Catholic point of view. I'm sorry, I just do. Because I can't support it within the pages of the Bible. And so I'm going to say, okay, forget it. Because Joseph, I want to see Joseph. This is how I want to see Joseph. I want to see Joseph and Mary as two young couples that were both similar in age and started a journey out in life. They were two traditional people who something miraculous happened to them. And why do I want to say that he was an old man marrying a young woman? I find that to be a little bit disgusting myself. Why is an old man looking at marrying a young woman? That's not even traditionally in the Bible, as far as I can see. Huh?
A lot of older men back then had young ones.
But it wasn't. Are you saying that Abraham and Sarah were like really opposite ages? I don't know if that is traditionally. Where are you getting that at? You have to give me an example if you want to say that. Huh? Well, you can't get one off your head. That's because now it's your opinion. Okay, so now you're still getting fairly close within the age group. If my brother's wife died and my brother died and I had to take his wife, it's going to be similar in age.
How do you know? I don't know.
Wow. Okay, one at a time, please. Connie. And I know people marry, and you told your story, and I know that happens. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying traditionally, it's percentage-wise, it doesn't happen as much as what you think.
Oh,
No, I'm not saying Mary wasn't a trophy wife. I'm saying, why put her with an old man that has already been married and experienced life? Why is that picture put forth?
Some scholars that I've read, I don't want to get into it. I don't have it all. Some scholars have said, when you look at the age range, most young men were when they took their first wife, her being a young teenager.
Yes.
He would have been about 24. That was the typical age that you got married. That's okay. About 10 years difference in her age and his age. Typically,
yes.
While it did happen where you had a 70-year-old marrying a young woman, typically it wasn't.
Those people were rich.
You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah. I'm backing off of it.
Huh? Who lived to 70?
Where was 70? Okay, who lived to 70?
That's just a figure I'm pulling out of thin air because the Catholic Church wants Joseph to be beyond childbearing, or child, beyond the ability to. And I think I know. I didn't claim I said it.
Well, they have him being 111 years old when he died.
Right.
In the history of an apocryphal book. Now, who lived to be? Joseph lived to be 100.
Old,
huh?
So he's infinite. Exactly.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean
that's what the Apocrypha book says, yes. That's why I disagree with it. Boy, did I ever stir up a hornet's nest. You're saying, but so only a pre-married man with a bunch of kids can have a stable environment?
But that was the mentality of the Catholics back
home. Back then? Oh, okay, yeah, the Catholics wanted that. Okay, yeah. But I'm talking about what historically happened. I know what the Catholics, as far as I'm concerned, they stretch things way out of bounds.
Historically, if you read through some of the old Christian analogies that were done back in the 1600s, you will find that they portrayed him as a younger man, older than her, a little older than her, but not old.
Yeah, not having kids before.
Within 4 or 5 years.
Okay, so that's all I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that there's a, you know, within 10 years of a Mary, Joseph was. The only thing I'm trying to say is that, I'll try to round this down a little bit, is that Joseph wasn't that extremely older than Mary.
Right.
Not enough to have another wife with a whole bunch of kids.
But how can you say that he lived with a whole bunch of kids?
Well, he had six kids. He had four boys and two daughters.
I know that, ain't I?
Well, that takes 6 years anyway.
Mary had children with him after the marriage.
The what? Yeah. The Bible says that Joseph and Mary alone had children.
Yeah,
but the Catholic Church says no.
Crazy.
You're being reported.
They want control. They want control.
Yes. They want to portray Joseph as being old and pre-married and having all his kids before he met Mary, before she was betrothed to him.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And I'm saying, no, I don't agree with that. And biblically, it doesn't align either. It says that Joseph and Mary went on to have more kids.
Right.
Isn't that their way of keeping her a virgin for a
yes. Woman? Yes. That's what I said at the beginning. In order for her to be an immaculate conception. In other words, when she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, she became holy. And therefore, sex is considered to be sin. So she could not have no more sex from there on out. So Joseph didn't know her no more, or never did, in that case, which creates a lot of problems. So, Now, why would a man get remarried to a woman or betrothed to her and wouldn't he want to divorce her and carry on? I'm trying to go move it back a little bit and say Joseph was a man of honor. He was a gentleman.
He loved Mary. He was a man of honor.
Yes.
And he was a good man, and he was of the line of David, so he had to have, Jesus had to come through him.
Well, but see, he didn't have no part of it But what does it matter where Joseph came from? Because Mary, it would have been more Mary's line that was more concerned, because it would have been the virgin birth has nothing to do with male sperm. It has to do with the woman's egg and the Holy Spirit impregnating it.
I understand that. Was Mary from the line of David?
Well, some people think in the beginning of Matthew, when it talks about Joseph, I think it's Matthew, when it talks about the lineage of Joseph, that is actually Mary's lineage. She was I think she was a Benjamite, wasn't she?
I don't remember.
I can't remember that. But she was of the two. She was a Jew, a Jewish person. But Joseph, I think, was a of the tribe of Judah, the way we understand it. Okay.
He just went and Mary had kids after Jesus.
Yeah. Yes. She had four sons and two daughters. That's what history says. Yes. Shalom and another Mary, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was a good man.
He was a good man. For old man, he did a pretty good job, didn't he? Yeah. I understand that these things happen. I'm trying to say, is this really what happened to Mary? Why do we want to put Mary with an old man for? Why can't Joseph just be a typical Catholics do? Is that what it is, mid-60s?
Yes.
And that's really probably beyond a typical age of a man at that time, isn't it? I mean, I don't know.
Yes.
But
yes. That's the way they portrayed.
Yeah, and all I can remember is that they have, in the history of Joseph, they have him living to 111 years old.
Yeah.
And that's...
It's a thing. Where was Joseph when Jesus died? There's anything about that. And then Mary went left and lived...
Okay. But we'll address either he passed on or got killed, or he was just simply written out of the picture. Why does every person and every event and everything have to be written in the Gospels? Maybe he didn't prefer the limelight.
Could be.
No one really knows.
But I think really God already picked him because he knew he was going to be a good man and he was going to be faithful and he would be a good father to Jesus.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So that's the point of my message about Joseph. He was a good man. He was an average gentleman who, married an average woman who miraculous things happened to. He's not some old man. Go ahead.
Better than half the men in this congregation sitting here are over 60.
Hey.
And your point is what?
So even if you say he's an old man, that way he didn't have children, that doesn't hold up either.
Well, I'm not saying that the capability of Joseph having as an old man he was incapable of having kids. I'm not saying that.
Well, you're saying she remained a virgin, so that would have meant he
saying that's the Catholic view.
That's the Catholic view.
That's the Catholic view. You got to separate two different views.
Yeah. I know at 66, I don't know if I want six more kids.
No.
I mean, I quite frankly. How about you, Tom? You want six more kids? No. I mean, forget it. I'm too old. Even if I am capable, I don't want six more kids. So, but see, the story of him being an old man has to do with him being married before and having all these kids before. So he never had relations or never consummated the marriage with Mary.
No, I never heard that one.
That's the Catholic view.
Right.
And I know your opinion. You don't have to say. Okay.
Matthew says he knew her not until she had borne a son.
Right. And it says right here what I just read. He did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to the son, which was Jesus, and he named his name Jesus. So the Bible says he went on to consummate the marriage and he had more kids. But why we come up, the Catholic Church take it from an apocryphal book that it was written some years later and call it doctrine in order to perpetuate an idea. And I don't agree with it. So I'll get back to, I'll sum up here.
I think Joseph was an exemplary man.
Very good. He was an exemplary man, and he was a good man. And I place him very close in a good relationship yes. with Mary. Mm-hmm. And he went on to watch after Mary and Jesus. And took him, and they escaped to Egypt. They came back. He took him to the last time I think we hear of Joseph is when Jesus went to the temple and he was supposed to be 12 years old, somewhere thereabouts. And that's the last time we hear of Joseph in the Bible. Now, from then on, you have to assume. And so I'm going to assume that either he died tragically or he was simply written out of the books. Which is done. I mean, he may have said, I don't want to be involved in it. I'm taking care of Mary, do all that. But and a lot of these Gospels were written long after Jesus was gone, ascended. And so they may have just simply written him out of the picture. We don't know. I would rather see it like that than see him as an old man and all this other stuff. And
sorry, I have to look it up, but I think the tragic death possible because later in the Gospels it says that Jesus was talking to Joseph doing miracles, but Mary and his brothers and sisters came and demanded that he come out, and Joseph isn't mentioned there.
Yeah.
So I think you're possibly on target there.
I see him as he tragically may have died. He was a carpenter. Anything could have happened, you know. I mean, there's tragic. Merry Christmas, amen.
Long time ago.
Amen.